again, I'm Drew Wilder, and we're talking with Stan Sadlak. It's your business. It's all about business. Business talk, straight talk, every weekend at this exact same time. And we talk about Stan's expertise. For 50 years, been helping local businesses and helping them with valuable insight to help them with taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, and business succession, even personnel problems. And again, whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman, whether you're a consumer, it all affects you in the end. And Stan, welcome to It's Your Business.
Hey, Drew, how are you?
I'm doing real well, and we have an action-packed show because we've been talking about prospecting and about data gathering on the last show. And today it's all about marketing, because I guess if you don't have a customer, everything else you know comes in useless. So how would you describe what the facets of marketing a business are?
Well, the most important part is to brand yourself. You know, so you want to decide who you want to be, how you want to be recognized, what is your area of expertise, and then how do you communicate those areas of expertise. The important thing is not to communicate about you, but about your expertise, that you're a resource for people or that your business is a resource. And, people take a look at the simple things. We do judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. So people will look at the type of vehicle you drive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They will look at how you keep the area clean, mm-hmm. not clean. They look at how you pick up things. Every single business is unique. So, for example, if a person's coming to your house to clean your furnace,
yeah.
Do they put little booties over their shoes, yep. as they walk in the house?
Yep.
Everybody...
Yeah, it all adds up.
It really does. You know, it's the little things that make the difference. You know, if you take a look at a baseball player, when they hit the ball, you know, where the difference between a home run and a hit on the ground is a quarter of an inch.
Right.
If you take a look at where that ball hits the bat, and it's just an eighth of an inch, a quarter of an inch. Well, that's what business is like. It's the detail by which you...
Exactly. It's like having an appointment at 1 o'clock and walking in at 1:04.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's a big deal, but some people do it all the time. But
right.
to me, it just shows if they're tardy in showing up for an appointment, imagine how they'll be when the person's a customer of theirs.
That's my pet peeve. You know, if when somebody has an appointment,
yeah.
if they're on time, early, late, I think that's very important.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And it's probably the 80-20 rule. The 20% seem to always like show up late, but or forget the appointment, which is worse. But attention to detail. I'm just thinking about a restaurant we were in, I think it was last weekend, and how impressed I was with how clean the place was. The menu was put down the right way. And then I walked into the bathroom, and there were paper towels all over the floor. The toilet I wouldn't even describe on this show what it was like. And I kept thinking, has anyone from management or anyone in the restaurant, do they have a job to like come in here like every half hour, every hour? To see it, because now the whole impression of the restaurant got changed in an instant. So it really is the attention to detail. And I guess the marketing would follow that principle, right? It would be the attention to detail, covering your bases. I mean, and how do you know how to go after? Because there's so many ways today to go after people. What, internet, radio, flyer, you got guerrilla marketing with flyers, TV, cable TV, over the top, which is all new. People have to see a quick commercial before they get to the video part of what they're seeing. I mean, how do you know what's right for the business and where you should go to find customers through marketing?
We call it the shotgun approach. You try a lot of different ways of facilitating that step, and you see what works and what doesn't. I mean, for example, today we're in a changing society. So you've got to roll with the punches. So, do you advertise on radio? Do you advertise on TV? Do you advertise on a billboard? I mean, all these different ones. I mean, if you say any of those three to many people, they're not even interested.
Right.
You know, they're,
right.
They're
they have a preconceived notion.
Right.
To me, cutting through the clutter, and this is where radio comes in, is more important than ever because the average person, now how many messages a day through all exposure that one has in a day do you think the average person has?
Oh, boy, that's a great question.
Used to be 2,000. That was like 20 years ago. Today, it's over 10,000. So that's like seeing buses pass by with ads on the side, looking at a Kleenex box with the name Kleenex on it, hearing four radio commercials when you get in your car, then hearing another four 20 minutes later, someone leaving a newspaper open, if there is such a thing as a newspaper these days. But let's say there are three ads or four ads that you're staring at. TV's on in the background while you're getting your car repaired. Now you're seeing four commercials air. So cutting through the clutter, I think, becomes even more important. How do you get people's attention? Because being a household name and being familiar takes a lot more money today than it did back in 1950, I would think.
I think the best way of marketing at the end of the day is word of mouth. Let's take, for example, we were talking earlier. So this past weekend, I went to the pizza place to pick up something, and it's at night. It's dark out. So I have a big vehicle because I tow a boat, and I got a trailer hitch. So I'm and I have a newer car, so I have a collision avoidance sensors. I have a backup camera. So I'm backing up my vehicle, and I hear a little... I mean, really, nothing of significance.
Yeah.
So I look and I see there's a car in back of me. It's a and it's below my rear sight line because it's a small car.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out and I look and I don't see anything. So I drive away, and then I said, you know, I better just go back into the restaurant and see if anybody owns the car and have them look at it with me. Today with cameras, everything, you know, you just don't take chances. So
right,
anyway,
right.
And it's karma. I'm a big believer in karma. So anyway, I went in, went back, and sure enough, there was somebody who owns the car.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, hey, you know, I may have hit it. I may not. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything, but let's go out and take a look at it. Well, anyway, she was a nice older lady, and I looked at it, and there, she showed me about a 2-inch crack. Mm. In the bumper.
Mm.
You know, they're plastic bumpers.
Right. And you were honest.
Yeah. So I said, okay, well, I'll take care of it. So she gives me her information, and she goes out and gets an estimate. So this is a plastic bumper. I figured, you know, maybe be $700-$900.
Right.
And I get the estimate back.
How much was that?
Between $3,000 and $3,500. So you said to me.
Yep. Data gathering. Here we go.
Well, so did you tell her to go to different places?
Right.
I said, you know, it's really up to her what she wants to do. My decision is whether I pay for it or turn it over to the insurance company. And I told her I don't want to tell her where to go at the time because I didn't think that was right. But I did suggest a few different places. So I asked you, who's good at who is a good auto body shop out there?
Yeah.
Where do you go? And
you gave
me three or four different names.
And that's, that's just getting the right information.
Right.
And you got to trust the information, some of the information you hear. But I guess the question is, in asking that lady to go somewhere else that's going to be less money, are most people, I would think most people are somewhat reasonable. You're willing, you were being honest. And you're willing to pay for her damage when you could have just driven away like a lot of people would. So I would think most people are pretty reasonable that she would look at two other places to try to get it done for whatever, $2,100 instead of $3,400. but maybe not.
A 2-inch crack and last moment. I think it's more of a commentary about the society we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not her fault. It's not my fault. But you take a look at the way, excuse me, all of these have been manipulated,
Exactly, and that causes insurance rates to go up, and it all, it's a domino effect.
So, and that gets back to the point of what we've talked about is who do you believe? Who do you not believe?
Right.
You know, not to be conspiracy theorists out there, but you wonder what things don't make sense.
Right.
You know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, what is it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
as we've talked about off the air and on the air, things are just upside down today. I mean, it's just, I don't know if I was naive when I was 20, 25, 30 years old, but I don't think as much as the fact that things have just totally changed now. There's so much out there and so much of more of it is just not real.
Well, when we talk about marketing, I mean, if you take a look at TV, at all the advertisements, Probably 90% of them are medical related.
Right.
You know, when we were growing up, it was the Winston Man or you know.
Winston tastes good.
Budweiser
like
beer.
Yeah.
Now you don't even look at those. Now it's, okay, you can get this portable EKG machine. Okay, and then as you walk 10 feet later, you can put on your blood pressure machine and check your blood pressure. 10 more steps, you can give yourself the injection now.
Right.
So, I mean, they've got everybody so paranoid about what their health condition is.
Right. And the average person takes something like 7 or 8 medications a day.
At least.
And, yeah, at least. I think it's more than that. But the advertising influences it. And you wonder, is the advertising more prevalent to medical because the people in this country now are older? The percentage of people that are over 55, 65 years old is much greater than it was 40, 50 years ago. I mean, the baby boom generation, where the people were in their 20s, 30s. That was the highest demographic. Now it's 55, 65 and over. But, I mean, it's kind of funny. It's either funny or sad, but a lot of these medical commercials are the pharmaceutical, these drugs that can really do a number on you that are, you really got to make sure you really need that medication. But they make it look so glamorous with the people and the, you know, the field with the lilies, and then the very fast disclaimer at the end. So, I mean, if you're influenced, and people are influenced by advertising.
It's the same with vitamins. Yeah. There are so many different vitamins being promoted on the TV.
Right. Do you really need that would ask.
Yes.
So that goes into the data gathering and marketing of, well, the marketing of the company, but the data gathering and the critical thinking of the consumer. So, I mean, there's just so many different areas of marketing to reach people. How does a business person, so you're saying, oh, the shotgun, try it all, but you can't try it all.
You experiment with different ways of doing it. And again, it depends on the specific business. I mean, it's a big difference between a manufacturing company or in a retail store and a profession. You know, for example, if you're manufacturing, your market is really going to be determined by suppliers and vendors and the customers, and you probably mingle with all of those at trade shows. That's
right.
Where you're going to put your money is going.
Yeah, face to face, getting in front of the person. Yeah,
right.
That's. Yeah, I mean, they just, I guess, try it all. But I think one of the key mistakes people make, especially because we're in an instantaneous society where people want answers right away, is people don't give what they're trying to do in marketing long enough to make it work. A coupon takes a lot shorter time to work than radio advertising. So probably one of the most common things that people in radio deal with is someone wants to do it for 2 months, 3 months, but you really can't do well in 2-3 months unless you got something earth-shattering happening, and then it comes down to the fact, will people believe it?
I think you raise a real good point, and if anybody listening to this station is interested in doing advertising, if you're going to go out into the open media, such as radio or television, you really need to do it over an extended period of time.
Yeah.
You can't just do it for 1 month or 2 months. So you're better off to do less advertising over a longer period of time.
Right.
I used to be back in the 90s when the Whalers were around, I was on another radio station.
Are there others?
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
So let's say maybe a year or so ago, I'm out and I meet somebody and he says, oh, yeah, I heard you on the radio. And I didn't have the heart to tell him it was 20 years since you've heard me on the radio. So
yeah. Well, I once worked for a guy who would always say when people would say, an advertiser would say, well, I'll just try it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. And he would always say, if it was that easy, everyone would be doing it. It would be like, this was my thing. It would be like just walking to a mall, putting a quarter in and bang. All of a sudden, your message is out to everyone over and over. It's repetition, it's consistency.
And it's touching. We've talked before. Yeah. You got to have three touches. In your mind, you have to have three touches. They have to, see it three times or hear it three times, three different areas. Very important.
Right. And it's just so many more bases to cover, and you got to be smarter today. I think you got to be smarter today with how you market or how you run any facet of your business than you did years ago. Just things are, there's so much more competition out there today. So I guess one of the questions is, are people smarter to deal with that? I mean, I don't know. I think people probably know more that, the technology is just people can know more. But again, that goes back to when they know more, is it real? What part is real and what part is not real?
Okay, let's test to see how smart you are.
Okay. Here comes the test.
So who said, with great power comes great responsibility?
Yeah, I know that line.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, I forget. I know the line.
With great power comes great responsibility. Was it a philosopher of the Greek times?
I thought it was a politician.
Was it a politician? I will answer this for all of you out in Radioland. It was Uncle Ben in Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. So it's not anything I would have thought of. It's a brilliant statement.
Right. Taken from a certain segment of a show, which has lasting implications.
Right. And it's funny because what you hear, this goes back to consistency in advertising. If you do it enough times, you will never forget it. Like the minute you mentioned cigarette advertising, I remember Winston Tastes Good. And you can have anyone over the age of 55 fill in the rest. They know, like a cigarette should. Anyone under 55 wouldn't know it because the FDA banned cigarette advertising in 1970, so they weren't exposed to it. But they heard it enough times over and over and over over a long period of time where I still know it 52 years later, 53 years later. So I always tell the story about as a kid, I'd always hear a commercial that would have for Sheraton, it would be 800-325-3535. And I once told that story to someone I was talking to about advertising, about the power of saying something over and over and over and over a period of time. And I gave that as an example. And he said, Drew, there's no way that could be their phone number. You wouldn't remember that 50 years later. So we called the number. 800, I think if you call it now, it's probably, I haven't called it in 10, the story goes back 10 years, but it's probably still their number. 800, not to give them free advertising, but 800-325-3535. I mean, I just kept, every morning I'd hear that on their commercial in New York City growing up, even though some people say I never did grow up, but I still remember the commercial.
So who was one of the most branded, famous advertisers in the Hartford area going back into the 60s and 70s?
Savage Jewelers, right?
You got it.
Cut.
POMG.
Yeah, and he owned stations that I used to be with. Station.
Oh.
CCC. Cut, Clarity, and Color. So, right,
he... Peace of mind guaranteed.
Yep. And because he did it enough times, and he did it over a long, long period of time.
Exactly.
Once you start, you should really never start.
Right.
And I was going to say the 80-20 rule, 20% understand that, but it's probably even less than that. It's probably 5% of people I deal with really have the insight and to understand that once you start advertising where you are, you really should never stop because it never gets worse. It's not like a D magnet. It's not like people aren't going to go to you, but the more people hear you and know you, the more they're going to respond. It's brainwashing.
Okay, Drew, we got a second question for you. Okay, who said this statement? It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Ah, you got me. I've never heard that one. I've heard variations of it. I would guess it sounds like a baseball thing until you got to the end of that, but Steve Jobs.
Nope.
Bill Gates.
Nope.
Joe DiMaggio. No, not sports.
It's from a man who said the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. The movie Rocky.
Ah, okay.
It's an excerpt from the
interesting
movie. So, you know, you don't have to have sayings by famous people.
Right.
You know, over the years, you know, you take tidbits out of context in different movies, and you know, that's those paraphrase our society.
Right.
I mean, if you take a look throughout history and you take a look at what's going on today with our political, geopolitical environment, mm-hmm. it's no different.
Right.
You know, if you take a look at Germany after the Crimea War and how it developed with Bismarck and Hitler mm-hmm. and was so manipulated, you yeah. know, wars between each other. I mean, for example, Bismarck, who was the prime minister of Prussia, you know, forged a letter that he made up coming from the French ambassador to Prussia, bad-mouthing the King Wilhelm, or Kaiser Wilhelm, as they called him, of Prussia,
huh.
in Germany.
Wow.
And that then forced the Prussia, even though they were behind forging this, encouraged France and Prussia to go to war. I mean, it was all manipulated
right.
to take more control of Austria and the North and South Germany. I mean, things were just so manipulated.
Well, that's how World War I started.
Right.
How we almost got into World War III with saying the missile was from Russia. Maybe it was from Russia.
Right.
Yeah, you got to critical thinking. Stan Sadler. Now, when I think of Stan Sadler, I think of that line, critical thinking. So you got to be known for something in your marketing, and that's really what you should hammer over and over and over and not deviate from that, as opposed to cramming in all the things that just aren't so important, the who, what, where, when. I mean, I always tell people that's really unimportant. It's the why, and be known for something.
Yeah. And that's the opposite of what the world wants today. I mean, China wants nobody to think. They want everybody to be robots. I mean, some days when you drive around, you go home, you operate, you think you're like a busy bee in a beehive.
Right.
Where am I going? I'm just like a robot. I'm just
doing
my job.
Right. Head spinning, and you're doing 20 things at once and multitasking. And I'm probably the king of multitasking. I mean, right. So you wonder, would a business person be more effective to do fewer things better or to do more things less?
You know, it really depends on his personality or her personality. Yeah. Really does.
Yeah, I would assume like an actuarial would be the latter. Someone that does fewer things and more analytical on each thing. I mean, I've always been someone that can do tons of things at once and do them. I think I'd rather do 10 things 80, 90% well as opposed to do two things 100% well. Just because there's only so many hours in a day.
Right.
And you can't leave 8 things undone. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart.
Right. And if you're going to multitask, you got to have good people that you can rely on.
Right.
If you don't have good people and you have to do it all yourself, you've got to retrench and really focus on doing what you do best until such times as you can.
And then that comes back to getting the right people. And in a low unemployment market, finding the right people. So really all goes, and so it all goes together, as you're saying. Maybe that's kind of like the shotgun approach with marketing. I mean, it really does all go together. It's not like one thing or the other. You have to be, I guess, a jack of all trades. But know your business, as you're saying, Stan, to know which to concentrate a little bit more at And again, talking with Stan Sadleck from Steeplechase Advisors. We talk with Stan every week at this time. It's all about business. Business talk, straight talk to you, whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman, whether you're a consumer. It all affects you in the end. And I know Stan can help, as he's been doing for five decades, 50 years with taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. See, if I say it that way every time, people will have it ingrained into them. That's kind of like what we're saying, having a slogan or something you're known for. But what is the first thing? So with marketing in the last couple of minutes of the show, what's the first thing? You sit down with someone for a no-fee business consultation. What's the first thing you would ask them?
What is your expertise?
And go from there, mold it around that.
Very important that people understand what they are good at and what they are not good at. And because you may not be good at something doesn't mean that you're not good at something else. And the key to a team is getting the right people into the right positions. You don't want them all robots looking the same, acting the same. I get a quick story on that. Yep. So I have a client, he had fired five people back in May.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty diversified, mm-hmm. and he worked with all of them. And as of today, none of those five are still with him.
Wow.
So the reason most of them, for a multitude of different reasons, mm-hmm. they're not there.
Wow. So you got to, it's a juggling act, really.
Right.
Yeah. The business of juggling. That's what we should name the show. We'll have Archie on. Wasn't he like juggling or something? Business talk, straight talk. It's every week at this time. Stan Sadleck from Steeplechase Advisors. Now, you're offering a no-fee business consultation. So how do people take advantage of that?
Well, the easiest way is to give me a call, 860-524-3408. It's my direct line. We can chat on the phone and then decide, you know, what you might want to consider or not consider. But initially, we chat.
860-524-3408. If you call Stan now, and he's been getting a lot of calls on the weekends right after the show, he may not get back to you till Monday, but he will get back to you for a no-fee business consultation. Stan Sadleck, Drew Wilder here with It's Your Business. And we thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you at this time next time, every Saturday and Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on the Talk of Connecticut. Thanks for listening.
You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman.